Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of the National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore.
The 2016 Convention of the National Federation of the Blind is now in order!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. My name's Danielle Trevino in the studio with...
Anil Lewis. This is so awesome I get to do this again. And this time my voice works.
Your voice worked.
Your voice was... Yeah, it was cruddy.
It was all right.
Speaking of cruddy, I just came from a convention and I avoided the convention crud.
So did I.
Some people come back and they're ill from, you know, whatever reason. But man, I am feeling so pumped.
Good.
So pumped, motivated, rejuvenated.
See, and that's exactly what we should bring home from convention is the motivation and the fire in our bellies to keep going, to move the movement forward.
Amen. And this convention, more than most, has so much energy from beginning to end. It was powerful.
Did you like the sound bites when people were coming in and out, when people were coming on and off the stage?
The little music intros?
Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
It was pretty cool.
I was there with one of our new contractors, and he was experiencing us for the first time, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's used to going to, like, the CSUNS and those types of disability-related events. So we're sitting there watching the opening ceremony, the band, the marching band was awesome. And then the first beginning pieces of the convention, he's saying, well... this is definitely not CSUN.
No, it's not.
It was awesome. I love the music. The funniest part about the music intros, though, was when President Riccobono introduced Dr. Kurzweil.
Uh-huh.
And he came up and he's like, I don't think that's ever happened to me before. Loved it. Threw him off his middle. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah. Shook it up.
All kinds of good presentations, all kinds of good speeches. Jordan Castor, man, that was awesome.
Knocked it out of the park. Slam that.
Slam that.
If you guys have not, it'll be up on the web soon. Our master here, Mr. Swatka, will be putting up posts soon of the convention proceedings. And I would tell you to go directly to Jordan Castor's presentation. It was awesome.
Yeah, she did a really great job in her presentation, and it was awesome because I'm like, yeah, that's a girl, like, you know, girl power.
I'm not going down that path. I see what you're trying to do there, Danielle. It was an awesome presentation by one of our students, and she's evolved through our programs, right? She started in some of our younger Science Academy programs, and then she grew through those programs, and now she's an Apple employee. That's the Reader's Digest version, but listen to the presentation if you
For
guys
sure.
really want to hear.
Yeah, she's really, really cool. She was in my leadership seminar. Shout out to Catching Fire.
Look at you trying to take credit for all of her success because she was in your leadership.
No.
Oh, I was in that leadership seminar, too.
Yeah,
it was an awesome leadership seminar. I was a retread, yeah.
It was awesome. So you know, the guide horse wasn't there this year. That's one thing that I think, what was it, confetti? Was the guide pony? Confetti wasn't there.
You've done more research than me. Yeah, okay, we'll go with that. The guide horse's name is Confetti. Yeah.
And how about them Fit Breaks?
Oh, that was, now I'm going to tell you something. When I first heard the first Fit Break, I'm like, this may be a little further than we want to go as an organization with respect to transforming our convention presentations. And I'm thinking, oh, man, all of the old school members are going to be like, what is going on here? You know, we have to get Chris in here to do the old curmudgeon, blind curmudgeon guy. But what is going on here? And everybody was up. All of the new members were excited about it. The young kids were all into it. And even the veteran members of the Federation were up shaking it.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
So confession, I did not participate in the Fit Breaks.
Shame on you.
And the reason is because, not that I don't appreciate fitness, I'm wearing my Fitbit right now.
Yeah.
And it's yelling at me to move. But so I was doing the live tweeting, and so I was like, oh, good, I can get ahead on the live tweeting. So I took advantage of the Fit Breaks to get my stuff together.
Well, next time, don't avoid the Fit Breaks. You got to have the Fit Breaks.
You got to have the Fit Breaks.
I love the work that they did to put that all together. And I think we're going to have some spots around the guys over at WeFit Wellness. I went to the exhibit hall, and I got an impromptu endorsement from the WeFit Wellness podcast crew. So hopefully we'll get a chance to highlight that during this podcast as well.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a little bit more audio too, just listening to what some people from the convention had to say about it, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. We were down, well, spying on some of the members. Some of them got recorded, but I made sure that everyone knew that they were being recorded, so there's no deniability here if we play some things that you may not like, and I'll just save them for future podcasts.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Little snippets to drop in there?
Just sneak them on in.
All right. I can get behind that for sure. So yeah, convention was a great experience overall. It was really cold in the convention room, I must say. So maybe if I would have taken the Fit breaks, I wouldn't have been so cold.
This is true. But I mean, the hotel, of course, was huge.
Yes.
And our footprint there was enormous. And all, in addition to the sessions, of course, all the little breakout sessions we had with all the different vendors and all our different committees and the divisions. And I mean, you just can't get it all done. You know, I think I may have gotten maybe 2 or 3 hours of sleep every day.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that last day after everything was packed up and I just crashed. I stayed at the hotel extra day and just crashed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's why I avoided the convention crud.
There. So now you know to take that extra day just to rest up. And no, I came home and I left the next day. So.
Oh, wow.
Took a long weekend.
You
travel.
Are younger and healthier than I. But I did Fit breaks.
That's going to come back to haunt me later. I have a feeling.
There you go.
So we've got a pretty good presidential privilege coming up. Speaking of convention, we are talking with President Riccobono about resolutions today. So.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite jobs. I serve on the resolutions committee. And, you know, it's always we're going to have these resolutions and they're going to be non-controversial. But there's always a degree of controversy around them. But I think it's important because without the voice of our members, you know, giving us direction on our policy, how can we be authentically accountable to our members?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that this is a good time to bring in Chris Danielson with the news to give us an update on everything that's happened since convention. What do you think?
Sounds like a deal. Can I talk to Chris about the news?
Please and thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. You know, Chris is one of my favorite people.
He's one of my favorite people.
When
too.
I was over in advocacy and policy, he really made me look like I could write.
See, and that's it. Chris is such a great wordsmith. Like, yes.
Mm-hmm. And everybody come in and say, Neil, I loved your blog post. Why, thank you.
And then you go around to Chris like, I owe you lunch. Like.
Yeah. But I gave him a shout out at one of the conventions. I really gave him his props and it was very well deserved.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah. Let's get some news.
Yeah, let's do. You are listening to the Nation's Blind podcast. We'll be right back.
Excellent. Let's hear some news. Chris, my man, Chris Danielson is the Director of Public Relations for the Federation. And man, you were busy during convention. How many press releases did we have?
We had, around convention, we had a total of, I don't know, 8, 9 press releases stuff. And I'm going to do my best with the news here, but I'm all verklempt because you and Danielle said some nice things about me.
Oh, so. Well, we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, apparently not. Apparently
yeah, it's very not. Well deserved.
Yeah, you're very nice.
Now,
you're
I think
nice.
That so many people take the talent that we have here at the National Center for granted, and they don't recognize that it is hard work. We enjoy doing what we do, but it's hard work.
Absolutely. But it's fun, and it's fun when we have all kinds of great news. So. I don't know if I'll manage to go over everything, but I do want to go over some, you know, ICYMI stuff, some In Case You Missed It stuff.
Oh, thank you, because the acronym was blowing my mind.
Come on, you're on Twitter.
First I thought you were trying to spell a word. I'm like, I don't know what that spells. No, it's an acronym. I am lost. See, anyway. You didn't say hashtag. Aren't you supposed to say hashtag before that stuff?
Actually, ICYMI. Never mind. I can't even say it anymore. That doesn't even usually come with a hashtag.
Gotcha. It's one of those like BTWs or FYIs.
Right, exactly. Okay. Anyway, so one thing that was a big announcement that happened during the convention is another Newsline thing. Okay. Lots of enhancements to Newsline lately, and the latest one is that in addition to the retail ads from Target that we already had, we now have retail ads from Walmart.
Oh, outstanding.
So if you're going to do your discount shopping, you can now get information about the latest discounts and sales and so forth at Walmart as well as Target.
That's really cool. I mean, Newsline is just so expansive. First there's news, then there's weather, then there's jobs, now there's ads.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's a one-stop shop for everything.
It's everything, and, and everybody appreciates it. Matter of fact, I was really, and he told me he was going to do this, but I was really struck by the fact that Gary O'Donohue, who spoke at the convention and who is a BBC journalist, high-profile Washington correspondent for
the
BBC.
He did a great job, too.
He was really outstanding, and I hope it encourages more blind people to pursue that career. But anyway, he was saying that he uses NFB Newsline and that it helps him do his work. So
awesome.
That was really great to hear. So another thing is that we announced our partnership with HathiTrust. Now, this is something that you know about, Anil. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes, the HathiTrust. Millions and millions of books for blind people.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And this is a partnership that our Center for Excellence in Non-Visual Access to commerce and
education. See, I go by Center for Excellence in Nonvisual Access. The longer one just blows my mind. I'm dealing with CENA.
Right, right.
That's one acronym I know. But thankfully, to the Maryland Department of Disability, we get a grant, the Nonvisual Access Initiative grant from them that helps us fund some of these initiatives. And we are working to make sure that students who are not affiliated with universities get access to these millions of books that are out there.
Right. The HathiTrust Digital Library is what it's called. It's housed at the University of Michigan, but it's created by a consortium of universities. And it has something like 14 million books, which, as President Riccobono said in the press release, is access to more books in a single repository than blind people have ever had.
That's amazing. That's a lot of reading.
It is. It is. We got to get started.
Yeah.
People have been calling me and saying, when can I sign up? Well, we've got to get the system worked out for how we're going to make sure that everybody's eligible and actually get the books to them. But that's
exactly. And we're working on that collaboratively with the players to make sure that we can get access to that digital content.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. That was a big convention announcement. We, of course, had all kinds of awards during convention, and they were such great awards this year.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about, in the spirit of in case you missed it, those who didn't attend or didn't hear the board of directors meeting may not know that Kathy Nimmer of Indiana is the Blind Educator of the Year.
Hooray.
And Kathy's one of these people that I haven't met her personally, but she's one of these people that makes me feel like I'm not doing enough with my life because she's a teacher of blind. She's a teacher, not a blind kid. She's a mainstream teacher, but she is a blind woman. She's a blind educator, and she's written a couple of books, and she's a disabled athlete, and she's just, you know,
active in her community.
You're right, right. Just doing tons of stuff. I'm not doing enough with my life. And also, the distinguished educator of blind children, somebody who actually does educate blind children specifically all over the state of Louisiana, Janet Bernhardt. Shout out to the Louisiana Center for the Blind again.
Yeah.
And Janet helps blind students all over Louisiana. So she's a great person, and it's great that she received an award.
And this recognition is so important because we have to incentivize getting more qualified teachers in that space, whether they're blind teachers or sighted teachers, making sure they're in there helping our blind kids get a proper education.
Exactly, exactly. We also had the Bolotin Awards that we announced. And I always enjoy the Bolotin Awards, but what cool Bolotin Awards we had this year.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
We had Able Inc. out of Wisconsin, which is doing such great work providing textbooks and other materials and making museums accessible and all that kind of stuff. We had Oscar and Klaus.
Yeah. We're going to be doing some interesting things with Oscar and Klaus moving forward, so stay tuned.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Yeah. For those who don't know, Oscar is a blind cat, and Klaus is his cat buddy. And Oscar is the fearless leader of the Oscar and Klaus duo as they go on various adventures. So And then we have Winston Chen, the creator of Voice Dream Reader.
Yeah, I love the Voice Dream Reader.
Oh, my gosh. Use it all the time.
One of the real quick asides. I used to love, or not, I used to hate when you're in the meetings and people are saying, well, you know, have you read this book? Have you read that book? And I'm like, well, first I have to find out whether there's an accessible version. Now in meetings, if they say, have you read this book? I open up my app. I open up VoiceStream, which is hooked to my Bookshare account, et cetera, and all those other spaces. And I can put in a title and I can download the book right there while they're talking about it.
Right. Love absolutely. It's incredible. And it does such a good job of accessing PDFs and, mm-hmm. and other documents that would be...
And the synthesized voices are amazing.
Yeah. And those documents would be very difficult to access otherwise. And Winston's such a cool guy. He mm-hmm. He developed the app while he was taking a year off from life with his family on a little island in Norway.
Right. And it wasn't even initially designed for blind guys, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But he got... messages from blind people
that were using it
yeah. And he said, you know, I had, and he told me, I talked to him about it, and he said, I had not even thought about that.
Okay, accessibility alert right here.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
you do it right, it's accessible. It's not over the top. You don't have to do anything extra. The man was just developing an app, and by the way, he did it correctly, and it's accessible.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And he's, of course, you know, been conscious of accessibility since then,
yeah.
So it
and,
works
and enhanced
really well.
It, absolutely.
Well with VoiceOver. And then, of course, the top prize. And, you know, it seems esoteric maybe to some people, but what a cool thing. It went to three academics who, the Semitic scholars, who have made ancient biblical languages mm-hmm. accessible in Braille.
Pretty awesome.
Which means that if you're a blind biblical scholar, you can read documents in their original languages, and you can do it in Braille. And
wow.
that's so important
wow.
in that field of study. It's really hard to succeed in that field of study without being able to do that.
Yeah,
so.
And it's so important that we have access to that information because, you know, religion, that moral model around disability is so hard. You know, it prevents us from living the lives we want because those predispositions of those individuals that don't really truly understand it, you know, segregate us or relegate us to that whole beneficiary existence as opposed to being beneficial participants. But getting blind guys in the study of theology to actually but really put the message out there that shows that we're no more or less, you know, able to be faithful servants
yeah.
than anybody else. And I love that. I love the fact we're providing them with the tools that they can be real players in that space.
Absolutely. It's such a great thing. The three people's names are Dr. Ray McAllister and Sarah Blake LaRose and Matthew Yater. And they are living the lives they want, and they are participating in this academic discipline. And
awesome.
Like Matt said, like Anil said, carrying our message through to that discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had all of the banquet awards. We had great recipients of... our various banquet awards. We had the first ever Ray Kurzweil Award.
That's right.
Presented to Paul Albrecht, who's been instrumental in the development of KNFB Reader.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Newell Perry Award going to Mr. Tristan Denley, I believe, of the Tennessee Board of Regents
mm-hmm.
for all
great
of,
guy
yeah for yeah. all of his work. That is, you know, what's so amazing about that is it's a statewide university system that proactively moved to make sure that all of its technology and content were accessible.
It was really nice that he embraced us. I think he clicked with us more so than most, and the fact that he has that relationship with our affiliate president there, James Brown, really spoke to the work of the Federation. As we develop these partnerships, we can get so much more done.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was a great thing. And we had the Kenneth Jernigan Award going to Dan Goldstein, of
yeah.
course, who's been such an outstanding...
It was really awesome the way Mrs. Jernigan led up to the award. She was saying, oh, in 1986, and this guy's a lawyer. And Dan thought it was going to Dr. Maurer, you know, because he became president in 86, and of course he's a lawyer. And it really caught him by surprise. I've never seen him so choked up, but it was such a well-deserved honor.
He was, you know, Dan is never speechless. as a lawyer, it's his job not to be speechless, and he's such an outstanding advocate. You got to work on a case with him, didn't you?
Oh, man, it was awesome. When I met Dan, it was with a custody case, and I watched him work the courtroom, watched him prepare the case. He was just so pumped on adrenaline. But his work really, in that first case, it resolved in favor of the parent before he actually got to argue in front of the bench. that's how good he is. It's just amazing to watch him work.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. And of course, he recruits. We should give credit because he recruits great people for his law firm, Brown, Goldstein, and Levy. And they just have an excellent team of advocates for blind people and people with other disabilities there. They won Yasmin Reyazuddin's case. You know, that's still being resolved as to what the actual relief would be, but they won that case. And that was mentioned in the presidential report and so many others, mm-hmm. and has really changed the face, particularly recently, of accessibility for disabled people. Mm-hmm. And then the Tenbrook Award to Jerry and Marilyn Whittle of Louisiana.
Oh, man, I love Jerry and Marilyn. When I was a student there at Louisiana Center for the Blind, luckily for me, they were still on staff. Marilyn taught me home economics and independent living, and then Jerry, of course, taught me Braille. And what I tell people really quickly is I went to LCB thinking I was something special because society made me think I was someone special. I was reading 33 words per minute, you know, and I sat down in front of Jerry Whittle, all proud of my 33 words per minute because adult learners aren't supposed to read faster. And he says, well, before you leave, I want you reading 120 words per minute. And he set that expectation, right? And I didn't make the 120 before I left. I'm probably there now, but I was probably about 80 or so when I left LCB after 5 months. So they really challenged me in a way that made me a better person. And Marilyn, she does it with such joy. They both do it with such joy. But Marilyn, her infectious laughter and her craziness around it really made the learning.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're LCB grad too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Jerry and Marilyn were huge mentors of mine. Jerry... you know, I was already a pretty strong Braille reader, although I was not a strong user of the slate and stylus, not a strong slater. And Jerry really helped me improve that. And, you know, he's got so many great characteristics. He's a down-home guy, but he's also very literate. He's well-read. He'll talk to you about William Faulkner and, you know, all kinds of things, and just a really good mentor. And while I was there, he started up a Toastmasters club so we could all improve public speaking.
And he also started a blind football league.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So crazy.
He's always just looking for something new to do.
It's crazy.
And Marilyn, of course, was my independent living teacher as well. And you just couldn't meet a sweeter and more joyful and fun person, and somebody who really, and at the same time, somebody who's willing to sit you down and, you know, be a mentor to you and help you raise your expectations as a blind person. So anyway,
she's a trickster too, though. She had me proving that I could light a candle. So I lit this candle. She says, okay, now blow it out. And I blew it and it didn't go out. And I blew it, and it didn't go. And she just started laughing the way Marilyn laughed. She had that little prank candle.
Anyway, and we just we also, of course, had the scholarship winners, and just briefly, the biggest scholarship went to the Jernigan scholarship from the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults went to Maria Conchita Hernandez.
Yeah, she was awesome. She was a Tenbrook Fellow. This was her second scholarship from the Federation.
Right.
Very exactly. well deserved.
And she's such a great person. She's going to do research that is really going to improve education of blind children. She helps us with a lot of our Spanish translation work.
She's very active in our D.C. affiliate.
Yeah, she's just a great person. But you can read about all of the other scholarship winners. And to read all the press releases that came out during the convention.
How would we get access to those press releases, Chris?
I'll tell you. You go to www.nfb.org/press-room. And there they are. And you can even sign up to get each one by email as soon as we put them out.
And so, I'm sure you want to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, because the news is always happening. And I can only give you a brief summary of it here on the podcast. So make sure that you're actually subscribing to get our news feed. And, you know, it'll be fun. You'll be in the know.
In the know. And there's no excuse for not being in the know. So subscribe to the press releases. Be active in the communication. So I don't know about you. I think we need a fit break.
I think we need a fit break, too. I definitely need a fit break.
All right, let's get a fit break.
All right.
This is Jessica Beauchamp.
And I'm Kevin Worley.
From We Fit Wellness.
And the Find Your Fit podcast.
You're listening to
The Nation's Blind.
Blind.
It is an honor to be part of the Nation's Blind Podcast. Without the positive philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind, that you can live the life you want, WeFit Wellness wouldn't have taken flight. We know that there are barriers that make exercise and good nutrition seem difficult for individuals who are blind and others who have been left behind in the mainstream fitness movement. We offer multimedia content, exclusive products, and our weekend culture workshops and training that make good nutrition and exercise accessible, affordable, and achievable for everyone. Our Find Your Fit podcast features blind athletes, exercise and nutrition experts, and wellness advocates. And because it's hosted by Jessica Beecham and Kevin Worley, it's a whole lot of fun. WeFit Wellness offers services that are perfect for individuals, agencies, organizations, chapters, affiliates, and divisions. For more information, visit our website at WeFitWellness.com. That's WeFitWellness.com. Or call 866-543-6808 extension 3. That's 866-543-6808 extension 3. You can also email Jessica at WeFitWellness.com.
Man, that fit break was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I needed that fit break.
I almost broke a sweat.
Well, that's because you're young and healthy. I did. I'm over here pouring in sweat over here. But the fit breaks at convention were pretty awesome. But I'll tell you what was really awesome at convention. The banquet speech.
Of course.
Oh, my goodness. President Rick Abono, one more out of the park, baby. It was wonderful. And the topic was so timely, you know?
It was. Fear.
Yeah. Are you afraid?
I'm not afraid.
You're not afraid?
I'm not afraid. I have a whole Federation family behind me.
Oh, look at you.
What am I going to be scared of?
Well, I could think of some things.
Except if somebody would look under my bed for monsters, I'd appreciate it.
But I really love the context of it. And I think that, again, it was very timely in a way that it's something that we as blind individuals confront all the time. Mm-hmm. It's the fear that we have and the fear that society has of and about us and that intermingling. And he did an excellent job of, one, setting the stage around it, because I love the way he made it personal, you know, being a seven-year-old boy sitting by the window. And then he took us into that space where, you know, he made himself vulnerable, right? Because we're all there. But sometimes I think that people feel, those individuals who, I guess, learn how to control that fear and turn that fear into power, as Mr. President Cabona was explaining, when we get to that space, I think some people think that they can't do it, you know, because they don't know that we've been there too. So the fact that he was able to really show that side of him, I've been here, I know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know, that was very powerful.
It was. It definitely hit home for me, you know, just dealing with blindness since birth and having all sorts of obstacles and challenges. It's like, well, I'm scared, but I don't know if anybody else is scared. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just, you know, try my best to not move or not do anything or not take any action. But man, that speech was so empowering.
Yeah.
So if we combine that with 2015 speech, we should be at what, Fearless Diamonds now?
Oh, look at you. I see what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just showing off all the time.
So Fearless Diamonds. Until 2017.
There you go.
Hashtag Fearless. Fearless Diamonds.
What are we setting the tone for 2017?
We're going to have Fearless Diamonds.
Okay. Can't wait.
Yeah. This speech was incredible.
It was done in a way that was educational, because he talked about evolutionary fear and then the conditional fear. But it was also entertaining.
Yes.
When he got to that place when he was talking about the whole mat grid, the push-up grid. Yeah, all the things that society wants to help blind people do, and helping blind people do push-ups through the development of this wonderful tool.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Or the stress-free drink holder.
Oh, yes, because you have to make sure that you have the rim and the edge just to make sure that
just
it doesn't.
Just in case.
Oh, that's crazy.
In case you encounter turbulence at your desk.
Yeah, but what a great way of really humanizing the fear, right, and the manifestation of that fear and what it does that's, you know, detrimental to our being able to live the lives we want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we will link the presidential banquet speech in the show notes, but you can also find it on our website on the AV page, so the audio video page, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So speaking of the president, I had a chance to sit down with him.
You did?
I did, and we were talking resolutions. You want to take a listen?
Oh, the presidential privilege?
Yes, sir.
Let's take a moment of presidential privilege.
This is Sean Calloway, president of the National Federation of the Blind of the District of Columbia, and you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
So I am here with President Rick Abono, fresh off of the convention high that we all experienced. Hey there, President Rick Abono.
Hey, how are you this afternoon?
Good, good. How are you?
Great.
Awesome. So I would like to first tell you just how awesome I think that your speech was.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So one thing that we talked about at the beginning of the show were kind of some highlights of the convention. And I wanted to talk to you in particular in this presidential privilege piece about resolutions. In particular, I wanted to start out with talking about the Apple resolution, which I'm sure you've heard some whisperings about.
You don't want to talk about one of the controversial ones instead?
Well, no, I figured we'd start with Apple.
Okay, yeah, start easy. That makes sense.
Yeah. So low-hanging fruit. Haha. So with the Apple resolution, there have been people on both sides of the fence regarding Apple and whether Apple is doing enough to be considered exempt from criticism or whether Apple should do more. And I know the resolution speaks to Apple doing more. So when we proposed this resolution, what was our intent with it?
Well, you know, your question very directly is when we propose a resolution. Well, in one sense, we'd have to ask the original authors of the resolution to know what their intent was. Resolutions of the National Federation of the Blind can be proposed by any member for any reason. And the resolutions come to the Resolutions Committee for consideration, and the committee decides whether the resolution merits consideration and recommendation to the entire convention. Once the resolution passes the committee owns the resolution and proposes it, and the convention gets to consider it. So the question has a number of layers. The original authors clearly had an intent, an idea of what they thought should happen, and it's their job then to try to sell it to others within the organization. So I can't really speak to what the intent of the original authors was. I didn't talk to them about it. I didn't ask them about it. Once it comes to the convention for consideration, the question in my mind as a member of the Federation has always been, is this a policy statement that makes sense, that we want to have our name attached to, that we want to put in the hands of our leaders to do something with? And that in itself has a number of dimensions. Even during the debate of the Apple resolution, one of the people that spoke about the resolution said we should trust our leaders. I agree with that, by the way. if we're going to pass a resolution, it goes to the president of the organization to deal with, and what we do with it then becomes important. But the statement itself is a statement of the organization to say this is something that's important and is something that we want some attention brought to. Now, there's many different shades of that or degrees of that. The Apple resolution itself uses the words calls upon. I consider that to be very mild language, maybe one step above please, won't you think about soon. Maybe not that weak, but certainly our resolutions tend to be much stronger than that. Urge, demand, sometimes condemn and deplore, which always seems to get applause, when it's well-deserved. This resolution is calling upon Apple to give consideration and have dialogue with the Federation about the issues raised in the resolution. It's fascinating to me that people sometimes take resolutions to the extreme. I believe it's appropriate for the National Federation of the Blind to express concerns that it has and to do so in resolutions, and then to expect the leaders of the organization to take the intent of those resolutions and discuss them with those that they're directed at, in this case, Apple, which I am working on now and intend to do. Many statements that were made about this particular resolution, first of all, when it was first proposed, even in the resolutions committee, I noticed in the social media, people start saying, there the NFB goes again, which I always kind of dislike because it's not an NFB policy until the NFB adopts it. That a member can come and propose something is the beauty of the organization. But also, our making a statement like this, people want to tag to it what we're going to do, assumptions about what it means. And, you know, I would always encourage people not to look at it in that way. It's a policy statement, and then it's up to the leadership of the organizations to find an effective way to implement it.
So there, like you said, there are definitely lots of layers to the resolutions. It's not as cut and dry as I thought that it was. It seems like there's a lot of thought that goes into it, and there's a lot that is expected once the resolutions have been passed. Or when they came up for discussion, especially when this Apple one came up for discussion during this convention, it was fascinating to listen to all the different opinions and just the way that we gave everybody the floor when they desired it to speak their minds. But in the end, you know, we did the democratic thing and we voted for it, and it turned out that we passed it. And so it was interesting to watch the social media buzz around the resolution for sure.
Yeah, and the issue with social media, of course, is there are people weighing in 140 characters or whatever that aren't actively participating in the process, that aren't at the convention, and frankly, who don't intend to be members of the National Federation of the Blind, and they don't get a say in what the policy is. They can complain about it all they want, but they don't get a say in what the policy is. And you also got to put this resolution and all other resolutions in the historical context. It's not the first time that Apple has been debated. It won't be the last time that Apple's debated, or many other companies, or what their practices or policies should be, or what our expectations are. And that's the beauty of the Federation. That's one of the things I love, is watching the conversation unfold and pushing and pulling each other to come to a place where we have a policy that we want to pursue. And it's in that space where we push and pull each other that we expand our own thinking about what we should do or shouldn't do and that sort of thing.
Thank you so much for shedding a little bit more light on resolutions. And if our listeners want to take a look at the resolutions, they are on the website at nfb.org/convention. Do you have any final words for this episode, sir?
Well, you know, one thought about resolutions that I would offer that gets bantered around in the social media. Any member of the Federation can offer a resolution, and it is a political process in the organization of people thinking about what they want the policies to be and how they want them to be. It sometimes gets said that the Federation does not offer this or that resolution because of who our sponsors are at the convention. Of course, the evidence is to the contrary. We've had resolutions, very strongly worded resolutions, against sponsors at the convention, and the sponsors haven't always been happy about that. And by the way, we'd love Apple to come to our convention. They don't do conventions. They've been to our convention one time to do some training, but it's typically not what they do. If the Federation ever gets to a point where it looks at the sponsorship list and figures that's a group that's hands-off, we've failed in the organization to articulate our priorities and to have leadership that drives the organization in a direction that's helpful for blind people. In fact, we tell any organization that we do anything with, that we're always going to tell them what we think. You're always going to get the straight story from the Federation, and you may not always like it, but that's what friends, in fact, do with each other. And we have to be honest about how we use all the tools in the toolbox to get there, not just the hammer, which we use effectively, but also other tools that can help us as blind people get closer to the opportunities, the future, the access that we deserve. And that's an interesting part of where we are in the maturity of our organization is we don't just use one or two tools. We use all the tools, and we try to use them in a sophisticated way. And I don't believe that we sell out, because I spend a lot of time and energy thinking about it and talking about it with folks and planning for it, but that the perception that we take sponsorship means we sell out, that perception is something we should be aware of, and we should continue to think about what we do about that, because if we know anything, it's that the Federation is going to do what it believes is right by blind people, and we want to make sure that comes through in everything that we do. The last thing I would offer is those who have an interest in the Federation taking up a policy, start writing your resolutions now. Plan to show up in 2017 and plan to get your buddies around the Federation to get ready to support it.
So we can look forward to more resolutions next year. One last question for you that I thought of. Can we look forward to more Spanish in the presidential report?
Well, you never know what you might get in the presidential report. It's a reflection of the lives that are part of the Federation, and so you never know. I don't want to overpromise either. So. And, you know, related to resolutions, there's never controversial resolutions, according to the chair of the resolutions committee. So I look forward to another year of non-controversial resolutions. So, but yeah, you never know what you might see in the presidential report in the future.
Well, you nailed that Spanish this year. That was awesome. So thank you for spending a little bit of time with us here on the Nation's Blind Podcast. We'll be right back.
I'm Sharon Maneki, president of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, and you are listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
So there you go. What'd you think?
That I think is important. I think that so many people miss out on the fact that although we are a large, powerful organization, you know, 50,000 strong, and our conventions are awesome with all of the fit breaks and all the music and the sound and stuff, it is a time for us to come together as a membership organization to really commit to true policies that move our agenda forward. And the resolutions are those policies. So I'm glad that you guys were able to really talk about that in a way that hopefully educates our members, and also not just our members, but those who are listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast that need to understand that this is the true power of the Federation.
And it's, the president said a couple times, you know, that's the beauty of the Federation, and it is, because we have that voice. And a lot of times in society, we're just not there yet. We don't get a seat at the table. And within the Federation, we get a seat at the table and we get a chance to talk.
Exactly. And it also dispels the myth that we're all just one voice and we follow. I mean, just talking openly about the controversial issues that we have to deal with, and the fact that we deal with it openly, you know, on the floor of the convention, it's not done in a back room somewhere. It's very transparent, shows that we are committed to making sure we're accountable to our membership.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very important to understand that resolutions are exactly that, that we resolve to do things to move the organization forward. Speaking of resolving, you know, I'm resolving to make sure that my son, Mr. Amari Lewis, who's going to be starting his third semester of college this year, is on track for school, you know, because school is coming, Danielle.
School is coming.
School is coming. August, school is coming. And I'm looking forward to making sure that he is fearless. A fearless diamond.
Look
in his
you.
Approach. Yeah, I'd learn from you in his approach to school. And I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of blind students out there that may not be quite fearless. I mean, the ability for them to access instructional materials continues to be challenged, right, as we move to more digital information and different avenues of providing access to that information. So why don't we get them to let us know not only some of their fears, maybe how they've overcome some of those fears as we look forward to going to school.
So I remember when I was in school, my favorite thing to do was take my Little Mermaid lunchbox to class. But I also had a
lot of
fears.
This was last year?
This was 2 years ago. Come on, 2 years ago. But you're right. There are a lot of fears, especially. So I graduated from college in 2007. And
oh, you're killing me.
And
another way of saying old dude.
I mean, I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, but I do remember, you know, thinking, well, my teacher says that they don't have this material accessible for me, and teacher knows best, and so I shouldn't fight for it, because I was scared. I was scared to fight for that access to my materials, and so I do remember those fears, you know. And so, yeah, so we'd like to hear from students, you know, what are some fears that you're facing going back to school, and how have you faced some of the fears that maybe you used to have? So
we want you to tweet them, and, well, I'm going to go old school. You do the new school stuff.
Okay.
All right.
So,
I'm first.
Oh.
You know, age before beauty. Yeah. So if you have an experience that you want to share with us, all you non-traditional students out there who, you know this technology that I'm about to tell you about, give us a phone call at 410-659-9314, extension 2444, and tell us about your fears. Tell us about whether they're access issues or whether it's just moving back into a space as a blind student into a competitive environment, and tell us how you overcome those fears.
And if you would like to send us an email, you can email us at podcast@nfb.org, or you can tweet us. So we're at @NFB_voice. And you can also send us a message on Facebook. So on Facebook, you can search for us as the National Federation of the Blind.
Live the life you want.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that you just throw that in, like, just randomly.
Yeah, well, you know.
Like when you're ordering at restaurants.
This is true. It's
have
fun,
the Eggs Benedict.
It's fun.
Live the life you want.
Do you have any key lime pie so that I can live the life I want?
You know, that reminds me of the Allstate guy, the insurance company where they splice in the guy that says...
Oh, yeah, and they just put him in all the awkward situations?
Yeah.
But we're not going to say their little piece because they're not paying for the advertising.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, we'll leave that alone. Well, it's time to give this a pause. You've all been listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. And until next time...
You can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.
Thank you for listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, send an email to podcast@nfb.org or leave us a voicemail at 410-659-9314, extension 2444. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @NFB_voice. Check out the Nation's Blind channel on YouTube and visit us on the web at nfb.org. Until next time, remember, you can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back.